I'm going to ask you Bibles, ask you to turn in your Bibles to Luke 4. Turn with me to Luke 4. Luke 4. I'd like to look at verses 14 to 19. I've entitled this message, Lessons from the Lord's Preaching. The Lord Jesus Christ was led, and this is in verses 1 and 2 of Luke 4, into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And after being tempted, the scripture says that he, in verses 14 and 15, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. All men spoke well. He healed the those folks that were there. And the scripture says in the next few verses, we're going to learn through the words and the actions of our Lord that the Spirit of God has been pleased to teach us some things concerning vital issues, some vital issues that we need to learn. The scripture says, and here's where I'm gonna look, really 16 to 19 will be the heart of it. The scripture says that he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. I'll stop right there till I won't read the next words or two. But it says, as his custom was, he came to where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Now, here is the federal head of God's elect. Here's the one that is representing his people. And as his custom was, as his manner was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. What does that mean? As his custom was, as his manner was, he was faithful concerning public worship. That's what it's saying. He was faithful for the glory of God. Now listen, here is the servant of Jehovah, the servant of who humbled himself. The Word made flesh, God Almighty, man, totally God, totally man. And here he was for the profit of his people, for the glory of his Father, for the glory of the Word that was concerning him. As his custom was, he forsook not the assembling of himself together with his people. At the appointed times of worship, he was found in the house of God. That was his custom. That's what he did. At that appointed time, he was there. And listen to this. He still does. He still does. Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of them. There is nothing more important. There's nothing more important for a believer. There's nothing more important for a believer than to be gathered together with God's people at that appointed time to meet together and to hear the gospel of God's grace. Nothing more important. Nothing. We find by his actions, what did he do? That was his custom. His custom was to be in the synagogue where the word of God was read. Here's my next point right here. Listen to this. I told you I'd wait to read that letter. He came to Nazareth, verse 16, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Now here we find the Spirit of God instructing us through the actions of the Lord Jesus Christ the importance of reading the Scripture. Reading the Scripture. He stood up to read. Assembling themselves together, the reading of the Scriptures is a God-ordained part, aspect of public worship. Public worship. There's some things that we do. And when we come together, we read the Scriptures. This is what he did. He got up and he read the Scriptures. We, as I said at the beginning of this service, we need to hear what God has to say. This is inspired of God. We need to hear what God has to say about himself. And the Scripture says that in verse 17, when the Lord was ready to read, verse 17 says, "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." They brought him a scroll. And the reason I know it was a scroll is because when it says that he opened the book, I looked the word up, it means unroll. So it was a scroll. It was a scroll. That's how they did. It was written on parchment or on vellum, and which was skins of animals, and it had two rollers, and they unrolled it. That's what it said. There he unrolled that the book, and he opened the book. But now, before I go any farther, I couldn't pass. When he had opened the book, I'll just hold your place right there. There's a precious passage of Scripture I've been looking at. Lord willing, I'll preach on it here soon. I keep reading it and going back to it and reading it and going back to it. Luke 24. I'll read this for you. If you want to turn, you can. Luke 24, verses 44, 45. He's meeting with his apostles here before he's ascended into heaven. And he said unto them, 44, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures." Isn't that a precious passage of Scripture? He opened unto them their understanding. You know, I can, and I do, I try so hard. I try so hard. I want to. I ask the Lord, help me to be plain. I want to be plain. I want to be plain in what I'm saying. But as plainly as I can speak, I cannot open your understanding. I cannot open your heart. I can't open your understanding to understand Scriptures. Only the Lord can do that. So the Scripture says he did. He opened the book. He did unroll it. But he's the one that opens the book to the understanding of his people. So the blessing of the Lord opening our understanding. Just like what I just preached a minute ago. I know that to the world, that's not a popular message. I'm quite aware of that. I know that because it flies in the face of everything that we've usually all been told, you know. It's just contrary to it. It's not kind of close. It's not even close. It's just, you know, diametrically opposed. But it's what God has to say. But the Lord's going to have to open my understanding to understand that and to love it. And to love it. And say, that's what God has to say. I love that. So here's it's he opened their understanding. David said in Psalm 18:28, "For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." The Lord, he gives light. He gives light to his people. And they when he gives light, I'm telling you, they say, "What? Thus saith the Lord." That's what God said. And I believe that. Isaiah 29:18, "In that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness." Isn't that so? Before, I what has every believer said? "All I know is this, that, you know, one time I was blind, and now I see. I was blind to what that book says, but now God's given me some understanding." So, Almighty God opened, he opened a book. He was faithful to the attending of worship. Faithful. He didn't just, you know, divers and miscellaneous reasons, he was there. I understand that. There's a lot of times we're, you know, providentially, I understand that. But as much as, you know, not trying to make excuses for anything, but he was faithful. Lord, may I be faithful. Be in the services. Secondly, hear what God has to say. Realizing that He opens our understanding. And then it says, he opened the book, verse 17, and found the place where it is written. He found that place. He opened the book. He found where it was written. He opened it and he found. He found a place. Well, now, without a doubt, I don't, this is no, you know, without, when the Lord turned to exactly what they needed to hear that day. He found the place. He found a place, the place that was ordained for the moment. This is the burden of a pastor. To seek the Lord for the message of the hour. I've told you, Brother Henry said this, God's people are not listening for a message. I got a thing over there, a cabinet. One of those old barrister cabinets. I've got messages that I've preached over the last 40 plus years. I've got them back in the 80, early 80s and stuff like that. I got a bunch of messages over there. Bunch of them. All the outlines are there. But do you know what I'm looking for? I'm not just looking for, I've kind of gone over them again. They're scripturally sound, you know. If they're not, I'll throw them away. But the thing is, I'm not looking for just a message. It can be scripturally sound. I'm looking for the message right now, this morning, right here. What does God have to say this morning? There'll be times that I'm looking for, I'm getting ready to preach. I know I'm going to have to preach on Sunday morning, Wednesday night. I know. And I'm looking at scriptures, and I'll read this, and I'll look at this, and I'm considering that, and I said, nah, that's just, how do you know? It just ain't there. It doesn't do anything in my heart, but I'll come across something, and I'll think, you know what? I need to stay right there. I need to look right there. He found the place. He found the place where it was written, and the passage of the moment right then was according to Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, which is quoted in verses 18 and 19. It was providential that the portion of Scripture that was to be read for that day, which speaks plainly of the Messiah of whom he is, that the hearers there would be left inexcusable concerning who he was, the one that they were going to hear of, that they've been hearing of for Sabbaths and Sabbaths and Sabbaths. He was standing before them. And he turned to that passage of Scripture. And so he says, here's what he read. Turn to that passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me." I'll stop right there for the second, just a second. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me." Here's what we learn. A man must be qualified for the work. All the gifts and graces of the Lord were conferred upon him, not by measure, but without measure. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him without measure. Now, all of us have the Spirit of God, believers, by measure. We know in part, we prophesy in part. No man born in Adam knows everything. I've had people ask me, and if I don't know it, and if I hadn't just looked at it, sometimes I might know it and need to go back and read it again to remember what I said. Or somebody will call me and say, I listened to a message that you preached on that and so-and-so, and I'm thinking, I preached that? And I don't even, you know, but not him. Not him. He said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It's only by God's Spirit that we perceive, that we understand the anointing, that he who is the Word. What an amazing passage of Scripture. The Word made flesh, who humbled himself, made himself of no reputation, came in the likeness of sinful men, of sinful flesh, and for sin, sin of the Father, was qualified by the Father. He who humbled himself was qualified by the Father. By the Father giving him the Spirit without measure. All I can say is, Lord, I believe that. As you say it is. Somebody said, explain it. I can't explain that. I can tell you that he possessed the Spirit of God. He who is God humbled himself without measure. But I want you to notice that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach. Preach what? The gospel. To preach the gospel. The gospel. I'm going to tell you again what it is in just a second. The gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1:16. The gospel by which all God's elect are called. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. Does God call any sinner out of the darkness of sin and unbelief any other way except by the gospel? No. 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 I didn't know you had to hear the gospel in order to be converted. God said you do. Thanks be unto God that he would even put me under it and teach me anything of it. The gospel which is concerning Romans 1:3, God's Son, Jesus Christ, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now I'm going to begin to wrap this up. But I'm going to tell you what the gospel is, and then I'll finish this 18:19. This is what the gospel, this is the gospel. The gospel is a message. The gospel is a message. It is a message of the good news, the good tidings from the throne of heaven. It's a message that's sent to men. God has a gospel, and he sends some preachers to preach it. Here's what it is. Now, it's the message of the good tidings from the throne of heaven of pardon, of mercy, of peace with God for a people that God Almighty has everlastingly loved in Christ. Here, I got a message for you. Here's what it is. God has everlastingly loved a people. He knows them. I don't. I got an idea of some of them now, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't see their hearts. God knows. But God's got a message. And God Almighty, according to Ephesians 1, chose those elect in Christ before the foundation of the world. We've looked at that. And this is the reason that they should be holy and without blame before him in love. And the Father, here's the good news. All of us had sinned. All of us fell in Adam. All of us had broken God's law. God's law was given to show us what we are and what we're not able to do. God's law shows us the demand of God for holiness. God shows us we can't do it. That's the way it is. You can't do it. Can't do it. But here's the good tidings. God has entrusted all that he's everlastingly loved to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's going to deal with them in one man. He's going to deal with all of his elect in one man. And whatever that man does, God's going to charge his obedience to his people. Whatever he does. Boy, you're talking about a precious passage of Scripture. This is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. I'm well pleased with him. You hear him. I'm thinking, Lord, thank you. Thank you. If God's well pleased with you, and I'm in you, Lord, then I've got hope. I've got hope. Here's the good news. He went to the cross that I just dealt with. He bore the guilt of his people, made it his own. This is mine. I'll make it his own. Bear it in his own body. And God dealt with him. God's just. God's going to deal with him. He's just. And he put away their sin. He paid. Christ paid the debt. He wages of sin is death. Did he die? He did. He died. Buried. But God Almighty, who accepted what he did, raised him from the dead. And when he came out of the grave, let me tell you what the good tidings are. We came out with him. And we're going to be with him. Father, I will that all that you've given me be with me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel. Preach it to who? To the poor. Poor. Those poor in spirit, made sensible of their sins and their poverty. The poor. You know, a miracle of God's grace is God would tell a man or woman they can't do anything. That's a miracle of God's grace. I didn't know I couldn't do anything, but I do now. I know it. I know something of it. Matthew 5:3, he has sent me, the scripture says, not only to preach the gospel to the poor, but to preach, sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Brokenhearted, those shattered by the fall, crushed. Oh, how merciful that God Almighty would tell this. He said, I got a message for you. I'm going to heal the brokenhearted. I'm going to heal the brokenhearted. How are you going to do that? I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to remove that heart of stone. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a new spirit. David, listen to this. Let me listen to the words of a regenerate. Psalm 41:4. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul. For I've sinned against thee. Heal my soul. Heal my soul. If I get sick, I'm going to go to the doctor. I want to get healed. I really do. I want to get well. I just the thought of being sick doesn't appeal to me. It just really doesn't. But Lord, heal my soul. My soul. Heal my soul. You know, the only one that asks that is a believer that God's already had mercy to, toward, and has healed his soul. He's already healed it. And the believer says, heal me. Lord, save me. The only one to say that is one saved. Psalm 34:18, the Lord's nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save as such as be of a contrite, crushed spirit. They're like that public, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I've come to preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, those that have been that are captive by nature, captive to sin, captive to Satan, captive to their old sinful nature, the law. I have come to preach deliverance to the captive. I need to deliver them. Died for them. Paid their debt, put away their sins. And he said, I've come to preach recovery of the sight to the blind. Oh, he would mercifully heal blind folks. Asked old Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. But you know what? That was just a picture and a type of that the Lord gives eyes to see, spiritually. Eyes to see. Man's born blind to his condition, blind to God's demand for righteousness before him, blind to the way that God saves sinners. Man can't, he can't see. By nature, he can't see spiritually. The hearing ear, the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. And those that one thing they know, I see. I see him by faith. And then he says also, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to declare the freedom that has been purchased. And this is what I'm doing right now. This is what I'm preaching. I'm saying that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. He has sent preachers to preach the gospel to the poor. Poor in spirit, can't help themselves. To heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, to recover the sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised. And then he says in verse 19, and I'll close right here, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Many writers said, and I don't have any problem with this, I really don't. They really refer to that verse as being the year of Jubilee. And I don't have any problem with that. Year of Jubilee, year 50. It was a great setting forth of the captives and their slaves and everything. But John Calvin made an interesting point on here, and I'm gonna share what Mr. Calvin had to say. It's worthy of consideration. He states, when the Lord said to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, he said that what the Lord was saying is concerning the assurance from God that all those who had wondered concerning the apparent delay of the promised Messiah. Now they'd been listening to that. You have to understand, 1,500 years they'd been offering sacrifices and they, you know how people are. Where's the promise of his coming? Things are going on just like they have right now, just like they did back in the 60s and 50s and 1800 and 1700. Everything going on, it's on and on and on. He said, I'm here to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, the time of redemption. This is me. This is what he was saying. That time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ was according to the purpose and good pleasure of God. The Apostle Paul said this in Galatians 4:4-5, in confirmation of this. He said, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So here, in closing, the Lord teaches us that don't give yourself over to curiosity. Wonder, just rather let us learn from what he's saying right here, to bow to the timing and good pleasure of God. The Lord has come. The Old Testament said there's a Messiah coming. New Testament says he came. When the Lord was here, he says, I'm here. This voice, I'm here to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That let's learn that his word is sure. It's sure. It's going to happen. And let us strive after to realize and ask the Lord for guidance and direction to admit, say, and believe this. Whatever he has counseled, whatever he has purposed, whatever he's willed, it's going to come to pass. Almighty God has been pleased to teach us something today of himself. And I pray that what he's taught us through his words, through his actions, let us learn that. The assembling of ourselves together. The importance of reading the scripture, the importance of hearing the gospel, and knowing what the gospel is, and hearing what the gospel proclaims. And I know this, that soon, very soon, he's coming back to receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also, to his glory and our eternal good. Amen. Okay, Gary.